Ah, okay, there we are. And I forgot to turn the recorder on. Oh, darn. So it's on now.
Just that, you know.
Susan, how do you feel?
I feel good and I want to thank you.
It's really good to acknowledge those things. So often, it's so easy to look for something that doesn't work or is bad or wrong, you know, and we're so quick to know those things. Like, I don't know if you've ever had. Go ahead. Oh, we were going to say something?
You said you didn't know if I ever had what?
So, if anybody's ever had the experience of like saying, okay, let's list everything that doesn't work and then list everything that works. And the first part, we list everything that doesn't work. We just zip down the page and we fill it up so quickly. And then we look at what does work in our lives, and it takes a while to think about it.
Yeah.
It isn't that there aren't things working. It's that we don't think about it.
Right.
It makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
So when you participate willingly and lovingly in a moment like this, and then you feel better, acknowledge yourself for the good work done.
I
So
feel
I'm over
better.
here just, yeah, go ahead. And doesn't that feel good? See, we've been conditioned, you know, by the outer world to look for what doesn't work, when what we need to do is condition ourselves to see what works. Like I can remember when I came out of one of my very first awareness, well, no, it wasn't either. It was probably way down the pike. I was getting really good at it. And so I would walk around and I would practice walking around in malls, and then I would see anybody and see who would lock eyes and who wouldn't. And when they did, I would look into their eyes and I would think of all the attributes of that person that I see in them. I said, wow, if somebody is arguing vehemently about something, wow, they're really focused. If somebody was just going about their business, oh my goodness, you know, look how dedicated they are to their work. Now somebody smiled right back and, oh wow, look at the joy inside of them. What would be wrong to say, or even outlandish, would it be outlandish or outside your scope of being to go up and tell them?
You?
You might be surprised at some of the answers you get. I was on an elevator, and oh no, wait, I'll tell a better one. I walked into a New Age bookstore in Syracuse, New York, upstate New York. And there was a real tall fellow there, and he had dreadlocks and was very dark and tan, like he'd been outside a lot. He was carrying a flute and some kind of a bag that he obviously looked like he carried all of his clothing in. And we locked eyes so intensely, and I thought, well, I'm not going to let this pass. So I walked up to him and I said, do you have a message for me? And he kind of smiled and he goes, you know, as a matter of fact, I do. He told me that both my mother and father were going to go through some health crisis. I didn't know this fellow from anybody. He also told me I was going to have trouble with one of my knees. And about a month and a half later, one of my knees just completely blew out. I had no idea. I was just walking into a movie theater. It wasn't like I was working or something. And shortly after, my father had a heart attack, and my mother was diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
I mean, he called the whole thing out. Now, my father did survive that, and we did some amazing healing work with my mother. My father said, come over here and do your voodoo. That's the best he could do. Some of you have heard that. And but he did it, you know. And he acknowledged the fact that I was there and that I what I did, which was very hard for him. He comes from a completely different school. But deep embedded in that school of his generation also, he remembered people coming down from the mountains in Greece who were called healers who came down to help the townspeople because they had no medicine. This isn't New Age stuff. This is as old as the hills. And we all have it inside us naturally, just like on a bird, it hatches, and then when it finally gets to fly, it automatically knows at the end of the season it's to go south. It does it automatically. It's imprinted in their DNA. We have all of these abilities to heal imprinted within us. Every great sage, every great doctor knows that every human body has all of the pharmaceuticals needed to cure any disease of any sort. It also has every disease in there already. And it is about keeping that balance that we are all about. So part of us, we are in need of this dis-ease or this dysfunction in order for the functioning parts to play their part. So in a sense, we have a duality that is one, which is what we are. See, duality comes out of oneness. We have one, then two, you see, then three, then comes the Trinity, then four, the fourfold nature of man, and so on. And in this way, we thread the essence of our life together. Let's see, 708, who joined us?
That's my mom. I just put her on her headphones.
Oh, got it. Okay. You guys are always tricking me. Okay.
Kill me.
So knowing that we could heal ourselves, knowing that we could create calmness, we could create health, we could create the life that we want to, then doesn't it beg a certain question? There's no right or wrong answer here. Like if you knew you could create health in an instant, you knew that in 30 minutes you could resolve anything or create it, what questions come up for you? So you have something going on in your life. You know that you have the ability to cure it. Why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Check into yourself, what's going on? What's your body doing right now? What's your brain doing? Check in, notice if there's any energy anywhere that's taking your attention.
For some reason, I'm shaking all over.
So, how does this feel?
It makes me feel nervous. I don't know why I'm shaking.
So, is it painful?
No.
Just notice what your brain wants to do with it. Well, this must be something wrong. You've just been infused with a tremendous amount of energy. And you've been responding to the questions and the statements that I've been making, which are not very light statements. I'm dropping some heavy stuff on you. Of course, it's light as a feather, really. But to our brain, it feels heavy, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we're doing, in essence, is peeling back that onion all the layers and layers of inappropriate thoughts, what I call the dumping grounds of the thoughts of others. And I do mean garbage dump.
Oh.
Well-meaning, but erroneous, you know, not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many incredible miracles happening, like the simple oil of oregano. There isn't a single strain of pneumonia that can mutate or live against it. Do you know about that?
Wow.
No. You think about how many people die in hospitals from pneumonia, not even what they went in there for.
Yeah.
You see, there's tremendous knowledge. And the truth of the matter is, if we stop looking outward for our healing and start looking inward, all of a sudden, oh, I have a craving for some basil or oregano or something, you might just go ahead and make yourself a nice salad.
Okay.
You see, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but it isn't. Consider what we are doing. You know, McDonald's and Burger Chef and fried foods and genetically altered substances. And once we put food in a microwave, we have no clue what it is. Completely changes the molecular structure of the food. You could be eating plastic for all you know now.
Wow.
Now, these aren't things I'm making up. I mean, you can look at, you can Google these things and find out for yourself.
Yeah.
It's become a much better source than Teen Magazine. You see, just like we look for the goodness in each other, just imagine if you walked through life doing that.
Yes.
Every person you walked up to, you said one good thing about, and say it out loud, dare to be outrageously you, dare to listen to your heart and do what your heart tells you to do.
Yeah.
Why not?
What could wonderful.
What could possibly be lost?
Yeah.
And everything to gain. There is so much more of a transmission and communication that is open, that is vulnerable, that is brilliant and truthful. Now, I remember my daughter, when she was about 3 years old, we were in a grocery store, and she walked up to a woman who was quite obese. And she goes up to her and with her little hand, points her finger and says, "Hi, you're fat." And I thought, oh boy, here we go. I didn't have the kind of knowledge that I have now. And I thought, oh, that was impolite, you know. But the truth of the matter is, she was just stating a truth.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be such that that person needed to hear that in order to do something about it. Because just like a few minutes ago when I asked if there's any questions, why don't you heal yourself? If you know that you have everything in your body to do it, we kind of go blank. This is how powerful our minds are.
Yeah.
So this woman who had allowed herself to become a very obese isn't even aware that she's doing that. It's something that sort of just happened to her rather than acknowledging the fact that she may have created it. And there's great power in knowing that you create everything in your life, because if you acknowledge that, then you acknowledge that you know how you created it. And if you acknowledge you know how you created it, then you know you can find a way back. I know I've said many of these things many times before. And if it sounds redundant, it's because out there life is redundant. Misery loves company. Ain't it awful? Yeah, I've got this. It just happened to me. Over and over and over and over and over again. And we must change that energy within ourselves. People say, life sucks, then you die. No, I say, life's a joy, then you ascend. about that. Place of joy, then you ascend. So you take the road that used to be less traveled, I'm telling you right now, because of the kind of work that you're here subjecting yourself to, allowing yourself to have this interaction with your brain, telling your brain to be quiet in favor of listening to your entire mind, which does include your brain. But it's kind of like if you mentally figured something out, but you made a mistake in your equation and you based your life upon that, your life is going to be burning yourself all the time. If you allowed your life to be run just by your emotions and not your mental ability or your physical knowing or your spiritual connection, you're probably going to be led astray. If you physically think that's what it's all about in life, there's nothing else going on. Emotions are an important spiritual connection that's for sissies, and what would you have? And thinking too much is bad for your brain. You don't want, you see, it's all about the physical will work out. And same thing with spiritual. You've heard the story of the person, you know, with the big flood, and they're sitting on top of the roof finally, and a helicopter comes and a rowboat, and finally, oh no, God's going to save me. See, it's about spirituality. They're up at the pearly gates, and they say, God, you know, geez, I died. What happened? You know, you didn't save me. So I sent you a rowboat and a helicopter. You wouldn't get in. You see, all four of our levels of existence have to be engaged. And when they're engaged, you can create, uncreate, recreate, and uncreate again anything you want. Here's an important point. You know, I kind of, as I went from heavy construction to just being heavy, because I'm sitting around doing healing work, you see, instead of lifting and boards and sawing wood, you know, and carrying water and all of those sorts of things, it's like, you know, I say, ah, and I say, oh, gee, I'm fat. Now, what I'm doing by saying that I am is a very powerful statement. I'm declaring, I'm actually creating obesity in myself. So somebody says, well, you have to say I'm thin. I said, well, gee, I'd be lying to myself. Why would I want to do that? Then I'll punish myself some more. I'm kind of giving you some shadows of the question I asked earlier. Why wouldn't you heal yourself? So I must wake up and say, I am going to do what thin people do today because I am going to be thin. And more so than that, I am thin. I do what thin people do. So maybe instead of waking up and having, you know, three eggs and pancakes and bacon and sausage and stuff I really like to do, I mix myself a mean green drink out of vegetables in a juicer, which I did this morning and this afternoon. See, if I want to create a change in my life, I have to start with it in my mind. Then my brain goes, okay, got to go to the sink, got to get the vegetables, got to wash them off, got to, you know, put them in the juicer, you know, you got to get the cup, you got to get it. See, that's what you use your brain for. To carry out the tasks that your heart wants you to do. What do you want to do then? Good question, huh? And what are you really willing to do to get it? Go ahead, who is that?
Well, that's the thing. I want to be healthy.
Yes.
And I want to do everything I can to be healthy.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So, eating, you know, food that doesn't serve us isn't the only thing that we ingest that causes harm. We can ingest negative thought forms. We can ingest poor politics. We can ingest pollution in the air. Now, we all have choices about all of those things. So I'm going to ingest everything that creates health for me. It's like when my wife became ill many years ago and eventually did pass from that illness. I had to go every place and everywhere I could find to see who could help me find a way to heal what was going on with her. Now, it's just learning at those point. And like you, Susan, somebody has to want to be healed in order to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and you want to be healed. So you're here, you're doing it. She didn't want to be healed, so she couldn't be here and do this.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's a difference. And it's a very important difference. I said earlier, intention, as far as I'm concerned, it's 100% of the game. Now that makes sense when you say that everything in our lives that occurs is preceded by a thought.
Yeah.
You see how it starts to connect together?
Mm-hmm.
I am that I am. I am that which heals myself as I am that which does not. I am also the being that creates what it is that I need to create to heal. I am. I am the agent of healing within myself. And I am the agent of illness within myself. Where I am directs my attention is what I become. Where I direct my I am attention is also where what I become. See, we're in a dream condition, where every expression that we have in these early stages of our outer being had to have some form and substance that we think and we feel has to be heard or seen or felt or smelled or tasted in order that its meaning could be clearly apprehended. But you see, there's so much more than that. And yet, because of that, there had naturally to be some organism capable of being used for this seemingly double purpose of expression and understanding what was it even in fact expressed. So when we stop and listen to our I am presence, when we allow the idea of I am to unfold, and we realize that the divine attributes of all that is dwelling within inside every cell of our bodies. And that because the divine is every cell, it is every cell that commands the divine, and it is the divine leading us. Now what I'm really doing is toasting your noodle with some very, very, very basic truths that the brain just simply doesn't want to comprehend or hear. Because it seems like it goes around in circles, but guess what? Remember how I talked earlier? You're going round and round in circles on a treadmill that has no truth to it. That's what creates illness. See, so Anna, if I may, is decided that she's going to quit smoking. And she's doing it. She had to decide first. And I would support her. And even if she slipped, I would still support her because her intention, she was doing something she realized was not very healing for her and is choosing to stop doing that. And if you've ever smoked before, that may or may not be the easiest of tasks for you. And I would suggest, you see, when we take something like that, when we take an illness, and even like also like Susan, she's saying, I created this, now I'm choosing a different path. And she's actually doing it. heard from Veronica Schultz last time, how she's chosen a different path, how she's feeling wonderful, and Veronica Mander, how being safe again inside the body. And myself, saying, I choose to be thinner. I choose to have the muscle tone back that I used to have. I choose. I have to choose before anything happens. I have to have the thought. I have to have the desire. I have to have the mental capacity to decide what to do, to make it come true. And then physically, I actually have to do it. And now I've created a definitive moment. One moment I couldn't do something, and the next moment I could. Did your heart jump when I mentioned your name? Did you say, but I'm not there yet. But I'm not completely here. I'm not completely there. If that has happened, just notice it. And there's a country and western song that'll fit it perfectly, those thoughts. Go something like this. Drop kick me Jesus through the goalposts in life. Any thought that does not serve you, drop kick it right out of your life. Hit it with a baseball bat, throw it up in the air, and give it a good sock and send it back to the universe. The universe knows what to do with it. Invite it to the light, whatever works for you. Say, invite this misalignment to the light. And through the light, I will heal myself. And through the light, I am healing myself now. You hear the difference? So I'm going to quit. I am quitting. I am quitting now. Pretty brilliant, yeah? You see how we need to identify our thought programs and we need to adjust them to what it is that we want to create, because it is our thought programs that create everything that we have.
Greg, I have a question.
Oh, right.
Being thin or having muscle tone or all of these things, to me, in my mind, they're tangible steps. It's like they're quitting smoking. Like, well, yeah, then you just don't pick up that cigarette, or you make yourself green smoothie and you don't eat McDonald's. But when it comes to, like, for example, like I have really bad back pain and my mom having her cancer, it's like, what are the tangible steps? Or like the action steps that we tell our brain that we take so that we can, transition it, you know? Does that make sense? Like, I have a bad back. I do yoga. I work out. I stretch. I get massages. It's like I do everything. I do all those steps. And then, like, with my mom, she takes the vitamins. She takes the medicine. She sees the doctor. But it's still there. For me, my back still hurts. So.
Okay, a couple of things right off the bat is that our physical body, so mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, is the most dense of all of our bodies. Like, it's quicker to change your mind than it is to change an attribute of your body, right? It's quicker to change your emotions about something. So, okay, I'm not going to let that bother anymore. And you can change your emotion about it. And you actually said something that kind of stuck out at me. You said, well, if I want to quit smoking, I simply don't pick up the cigarette. But look at all you had to go through to get there, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Yeah?
Yeah.
So you really had to line that up in order for it to happen. Now, that's one of the keys. You've really got to line up. You've got to become aligned with your purpose. Like, if somebody sits around and does a, you know, 10,000 Hail Marys, but it's thinking about their grocery list or thinking, well, I'm doing this because somebody told me, the effect is likely not to have any result at all. So this begs then, wow, we need to get to the core issue here. We need to find out what's really causing this bad back or this bad pain. Now, one of the things that I would suggest, you said, I have a bad back. Question that is the truth. You see, you're born with one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. And you own it now. So let me give you a story that actually happened to me. So I have had a bad back. Notice how I said that. I have had a bad back. I had back pains all the time. There were times it would take me 20 minutes to get out of my car, walk up my driveway, and get into my house because I could barely move. My father had a bad back. My mother, my aunts, my uncles, even my older brother, my older sister. My aunts and uncles had bad backs. So I went into an awareness program, and 2 or 3 weeks later when I was done, and I'm trunking along in my construction, I realized my back didn't hurt anymore. So what in the world happened? And so I really researched into it, got back with some of the people I took the courses with, and I said, wow, this has happened. My back doesn't hurt anymore. You see, I was bonding. I was bonding with my family. I wanted to be like them to the point that I actually created pain in my back. Do you know how I did it? The physical manifestation of it. I chose to go into construction. And so to further the fact that I have a bad back, I made it my job, my purpose, and my joy to lift things that nobody else could lift because I didn't want anybody on my crew to be soft. I want us all to be tough guys that get things done individually. I don't want two people carrying one thing because that costs me money. I want one person carrying it. So I would lift things all over the place. And I said, no business lifting. And one day I lifted this huge picture window into an opening. I dropped to my knees. I didn't walk for a week. When I reflected upon that after coming out of that program, I said, wow, I'm not going to do those things anymore. And I didn't, but it wasn't an actual conscious thought. So I had people lift things. I directed them. I didn't do it myself. I helped or asked for help. My bad back went away. Now, that may not be the issue that you're facing, but I don't have a bad back. What can I do? First of all, I must disown it. I must detach from this thought form called, I have a bad back. And then I might even want to go to the library and look at what a good back looks like, not even knowing what part of it to look at, but just take in the whole picture. And say, ah, this is to the best of this artist's ability here. Got me on the right track. Let's now notice what I do every day. As you mentioned, I work out, I take yoga, I do all of these different things. Perhaps working out may be one thing to look at. If you're pushing yourself hard, the very efforts that you're creating could be, or you're attempting could be creating in and of itself, lending to that bad back when it needs to rest, for example. Now, this is something I could get a little bit more individual with you at another time, so we could set up a time for that a little bit, but I think we could get into the core issue of that. Yes, there are some genetic dispositions, and yes, just like Susan was talking about earlier, it's like amazing, oh, it wasn't Susan, it was a previous call, I'm sorry, amazing things occur through the human condition. I was actually x-rayed when I was drafted, and they did not draft me because they said I had to go see an orthopedic surgeon. It was proof in my mind I had a bad back. Well, I don't. I haven't had back problems in years, ever since I got onto that. Did I regress a few times? Absolutely. Catch myself lifting something really heavy. So the first thing that you need to do is to remember at the beginning I asked this question. I said, you can heal any debilitating situation in your body. I said disease, but any disability situation in your body. You can create it in 30 minutes. And you can uncreate any debilitating situation in your body. So the first step is, in most cases, to forgive yourself. You don't have to know why. Whatever you've done or not done or omitted or did too much of, to forgive yourself. And I mean from the time you were born till right now. No holds barred, no exceptions. So I forgive myself for everything except for yelling at my mother. No, no, you forgive that too. Okay? Did you catch that one, Sue?
Yeah.
So you get to forgive everything. You, and here it is in the purest sense. If it is you directing your I Am Presence and your I Am Presence divinely leading you to direct yourself, then in its purest sense, you don't need forgiveness because you have been divinely guided. You signed up for whatever it is that you needed to experience before you got here. But since we are in the human condition, it's a good idea to forgive yourself. So you may have heard, some of you, I've already given this to. I'll give it to you now. I may have already given it to you. I don't remember. That's one of the great things about being in the now. I don't have to. Because to be redundant is to help. So you look into the mirror and you look into your third eye just above the bridge of your nose between your eyebrows. And you look into the mirror, but you pay attention to your own heart. And you say, I forgive myself. For 30 minutes. This will change your life. I mean, you look into that mirror and you look into your third eye, not into your eyes, but you pay attention to your own heart, your entire heart only, and you say, I forgive myself. 30 minutes. And then after 30 minutes, you say, I love myself. I love myself for 30 minutes. So you've dedicated an hour to yourself. Okay? Uninterrupted. One full hour. This will change your life. This will absolutely change your life. So you do that. And let's see where it takes you. And particularly, Susan, if you need some other little guidance on this, just give me a holler or drop me an email or something. We'll figure something out.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Okay. Well, it's time already, unbelievably.
That one fast.
Yeah. So Russell will be putting this up on the website. He's actually redoing a lot of things right now. We had website glitch city here for the last 2 weeks. Computer glitch city. Wow. Things happened. It's just been a chore. But it should all be up. I know he's working on the website right now. It might take a little extra day or two for this to come online. But at any rate, it will be up in a day or two at the most. He may even be able to do that anyway. He's doing other things on the site. But for now, let's just end with a nice prayer. May the blessings of God be upon you. May God's peace abide deep within your soul. May God's presence truly illuminate your heart, now and forevermore. And God bless everybody here.
Thank you.
God bless you. God bless everyone.
Yes. God bless everyone. That's right. Take good care. We'll see you in a couple of weeks and some of you before. Take care.
Thank you.